I'd like to have Dave Jensen mention some new figures we got on guidelines for limitations on bonding bills. Dave?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm looking at the capital investment guidelines that MMB issues.
MMB?
Is the Minnesota Management and Budget, formerly the Department of Finance. And in November, the forecast for state personal income was $219 billion. And now today it's gone up to $222 billion. And that number is a basis for the computation of the debt service guidelines. So an increase of about 2.7 billion times the new guideline of 3.25, the difference is about $100 million. And in November, the forecast had an increase in the debt service of 1.7 billion. So now the number would be $1.8 billion increase in a bonding bill.
Okay, any comments or questions?
Well, just to clarify, in other words, we have even greater additional capacity for a bonding bill today than we did last week. Last week, that number would have been $1.7 billion, and now it is $1.8 billion. So the position has improved, and that is because of two things. The total principal outstanding decreased, and state personal income increased. And because of those two, principal decreased, state income, personal income increased, we now are in a better position relative to debt.
Well, this does not mean we're going to pass $1.8 billion, even though Senator Tomasoni wants us to. We obviously are going to be much more reasonable than that. We did ask the governor to come in and talk to this committee, and I believe it's a representative of the governor that's here. Is that right? Okay. Could you take the chair? Yeah, as we all know, the governor had stated he was going to veto the bill just before we got it on the floor. We went through the process, and then the decision was made to lay it on the table in the Senate, which I think was a good idea. It allowed us to talk to the governor, and also if there's an agreement made quite quickly, we could go to conference committee and send it to the governor. If he had vetoed it, we had to start all over again. Right now, we're kind of confined to what was in the Senate bill and what is in the governor's bill. So I really think we did do the right thing. At some point, and certainly long before the end of session, this committee is going to send the governor a bill. We would like to send a bill that he signs. We have asked that he lay out a little more in the way of guidelines as far as what he won't accept. He has mentioned the things that he wants in the bill that we didn't have there, and we're looking at that, been discussing that, and I think we're certainly going to make some moves in that direction. But we have asked that he give us a little bit more specifics about what he won't accept in the bill, because it isn't going to do us any good to send him a bill that he simply vetoes again, or that he even says he's going to veto just before we bring the bill up. So, Mr. De La Forest, welcome to the committee. And if you, I guess you're the governor's spokesman, and I was just wondering if the governor now has more guidance to us about what he will accept and what he won't.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Happy to be here. For the record, Chris De La Forest from the office of the governor. And Mr. Chairman, again, this continues some of the discussions that we have had that I think have been productive and had led to some progression. The governor thinks that the best way to approach it is sort of a twofold approach that Representative Solberg had mentioned at one point about it's not only about agreeing on an overall number, but also building towards a bill, and thinks it would be more productive if what we did is we focused on areas of agreement regarding priorities and then worked towards a bill, as opposed to attempting to flesh out what might be acceptable, marginally acceptable, or unacceptable. And as you alluded to, Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting, I laid out about six or seven of the governor's what he'd call core priorities regarding what he'd like to see in a bill, and I think the governor has been fairly public in his pronouncements in that regard, including Lake Vermilion language, for example, and some of the security enhancements at the Oak Park Heights facility.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that we understand. I think those the additional spending he wants in the bill we're very clear about. But the problem is that brings it up. And it's the bringing it down that we then need some help with, because we could guess and take some things out. But if they are the wrong things and we forward the bill, it could still be vetoed because there is something else in the bill that we were not aware of. And that's, I think, where we're looking for some more specificity. And I think my understanding was that at his press event this morning, he said that his commissioners and you are always available and that he doesn't come to committee hearings. The problem is then we would need to understand, are you in a position to negotiate a position for him that we sort of come to a handshake on? And if that's not the case, how do we get that agreement?
Well, Madam Chair, again, or Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, I guess, in this case, with the gavel switching, again, it would be helpful as for our office as well to understand where your priorities are. And the governor had mentioned in a meeting, you know, we know that $1 billion is too much. We understand that the $685 million that he proposed is too little for the working group as well. And so it would help me as a negotiator understand better what some of your core priorities were with respect to the bill. We talked a little bit about what the governor's priorities were at the last meeting, but I confess I'm still in the dark regarding either what the working group or the chair's priorities are in building a bill forward. Again, it is difficult to say what exactly may or may not be included in a total bill if we do not have a firm agreed-upon number with respect to the bill.
And I think for us, the priorities probably have been stated over and over on the floor and in committee and elsewhere, clearly higher education. And there we understand the governor prefers less for Minsku and more for the University of Minnesota, which, and we've been working on that. Clearly, flood mitigation and clean water and wastewater infrastructure, that whole package is a priority for us. And then, of course, transportation. The piece that's hard for me to understand, because we know where what we're basing our size bill on, we're basing it on the debt service guidelines. And if you heard, the forecast in a sense suggested we are in even a better position today than yesterday relative to the estimated maximum additional principal capacity. So we know we're well under that. It's 1.8, we're going to spend just under $1 billion. And so when you say that is too big, what is that premised on? What is that judgment based on?
It's based, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, it's based upon the $725 million planning estimate issued by Minnesota Management and Budget, as well as the news that we received today that we understand that regardless of whether we're issuing debt in the form of bonds or simply paying from the general fund, it's all part of a global budget. And today's news, while it was somewhat of an improvement, we still are facing nearly $1 billion budget deficit, knowing that a bonding bill is money that needs to be paid back over time with principal plus interest.
And then, Mr. Chair and Mr. De La Forest, to get a sense of the governor's point of view of negotiation, is it that both sides move?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, of course, yes.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, on that point, I think in our meeting last Wednesday, the governor was quite, appeared quite willing to negotiate. I remember specifically he said that he gives a little, we give a little, we get some of our projects, he gets some of his projects. And I just hope that that spirit that he showed in that meeting last Wednesday will continue. The other thing, though, that he did say is he specifically said to the chairs, don't disappear for a week. And it's a week later, and it seems to me that what you just mentioned about Vermilion and the public safety issues, we'd already heard those. And I don't feel like a lot of progress has been made during the last week. And, you know, none of us have disappeared. We've been here. And we would hope that the governor's office would also be here and be working on a settlement.
Yeah, it's just mentioning, I think it kind of baffles me that on the one hand he complains about the regional projects and the local, what he called local project. If you look at that front page on the bill, Minsky is owned by the state. It's indirectly run by the state. It's a state responsibility. If you look down at those projects, most of them are either asset preservation or total rehabilitation. They're going to be done someday. I don't think there's anything on that list that isn't going to be done. Here we're getting bids for 15-20% and more or less, and yet he doesn't want to do that. And I think that goes way beyond his explanation about state responsibility versus regional versus local. And I just, that's the one that really baffles me more than anything else, because it seemed like higher education fits what he says we should be doing, and yet he is so, lacking in that area. Not as much with the university, but certainly with the Minsky.
And Mr. Chairman, and if I could for a moment go back to Senator Pappas's comments. We did have a meeting just late last week, and I think it just for purposes of the working group side, it was just the two chairs, and we did have further discussions regarding priorities and the size and the bill and the like, and certainly we're committed to working on a bill to reassure you. And Mr. Chairman, if you take a look with respect to the governor's recommendations regarding higher education, I think from a historical perspective, it comprises a fairly historically consistent level regarding the percentage of funding that's dedicated to higher education within the governor's proposal. Obviously, everyone here knows that there is a good deal of difference with respect to the size of the bill. But I think as a portion of higher education, there's not too much variation with either historical norms or with what this conference committee and each body had proposed in their respective bills.
Well, I would beg to differ you on Minsky. I think it's a much, much smaller percentage than normal. And Senator Pappas, you're chairman of the committee. I think you could verify that, couldn't you?
It's usually about a third of the bill. Yeah.
The total higher education.
Yeah.
Representative Hausman.
One of the things I fear is that this little window of opportunity we had is closing. We were just given information today that suggests that construction materials prices are now rising again. And so we had this sense that moving quickly was a good thing, and there are these little indications that that there's even more urgency perhaps to move quickly. And I think that's giving me some concern. I know the governor said it was good to get the bonding bill done sooner rather than later as well. I think we're struggling with what the form of the negotiation takes. I looking at his letter of February 22nd, he suggested that assembling a bill behind closed doors wasn't good, that this lack of transparency is unacceptable. That he was open to negotiating an agreed upon bill. His perception was we were not, and I think we just want to go overboard in saying we do. We actually want to negotiate a bill that can be signed, that we can agree to, but we also assume that negotiation is sort of a two-way street.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, I would agree, and it's one of the, if you recall, one thing that we have discussed in the past, and that is the form of the negotiation. Certainly, I am there to negotiate. Commissioner Hansen is there as well. And we're flexible. You know, since the, well, we call it a working group now, we have had, this is the second public meeting with the entire working group. We had a private meeting in which the entire working group was present, and there was also a meeting in which just the chairs were present without the other members of the working group. And from the perspective of the governor's office, we're flexible with whatever method is decided upon by the working group. We'd only ask that it be consistent for the sake of consistency and negotiations. Other than that, we are certainly flexible. And if I could for a moment to turn back to a subject that we have discussed before, I am still puzzled by the need or the talk to get jobs out the door. The governor's remarks earlier today speak for themselves, but it has been brought up by Minnesota Management and Budget before in other settings that even if a bonding bill were to be passed, say hypothetically tomorrow, there's still an underwriting process and a due diligence process and a certification process regarding material events that would make it unlikely that Management and Budget would issue bonds earlier than sometime this summer after the session is concluded and at least after the state's budget situation is stabilized and resolved.
But I think it's because of all those things that we'd rather pass it in February, now March, than in May, just because of everything that has to go on between the time that we pass the bill and the money goes out the door.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, just let me give you one example of that. In the bill, there's some resources for local roads and bridges, local bridges. The list is all down there. We know where that's, the money is going to go. The need is there. It's been evaluated with all the counties. But there is an agreement that has to be done. There has to be some paperwork. And my understanding is that that's 6 to 8 weeks of paperwork to get the project, which ones are going to be funded and so forth. Because I think the need is like 100 or 100 million or better. And we're, I think... where we at 67, something like that. So if we wait until May, then you're out in August before that gets done. And you're losing a construction season. If you, and plus we may be also getting higher costs. If we do that now, that paperwork can be done and we can gain a construction season.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Solberg, again, Commissioner of Management and Budget likely would not go out to market until sometime in summer. And we know that paperwork is done constantly on an earlier basis, whether it's pre-design work or design work and the like. And we know that there are even some agencies that perhaps could have the ability to float some of the money to front the loans. But for the most part, it is the historical norm by far that the due diligence process and the certification process regarding material events means that the bonds are almost never, ever let until the summertime. And the history has been occasionally the general fund has acted to provide sort of a bridge loan on some of those projects. But obviously, with a $1 billion budget deficit, that is highly unlikely to occur this year, even if we were to pass a bonding bill early.
Mr. Chairman, I understand fully the difficulties that the administration has with cash flow compared to other years. But here's an example, the one I use, that you could have the cash flow from the local units of government, counties, and get that project on the way this year and put people to work.
Senator Tomasoni.
Well, and to that point about highways, Representative Solberg, I just paid $362 for a new ball joint on my car, and I got a funny thing. It's got something to do with the potholes in this state. And we might want to start getting these things fixed. The HEPR projects are another one that are ready to go at Minsku and can be done immediately. And the quicker we get them out the door, the faster people go to work. But, you know, we just had the forecast come out for February this morning. And right in the middle of the forecast, it says two-thirds of the Minnesota's labor market outlook over the forecast horizon is far from normal. Two-thirds of the jobs lost in this state over the past 2 years have been in just three industries, manufacturing, construction, and retail trade. These three industries are projected to regain about one quarter of their loss over the next 2 years. That means that many of those who lost jobs in this recession will be unable to find employment in the industry that they were previously employed by. Many of the construction and manufacturing workers will need to retrain to work in other sectors. Now, it seems to me that if we have construction workers that are laid off and we have a bonding bill that puts construction workers back to work, that we should do whatever we can to put these people back to work, because it's obviously one of the problems that we're having with our economy right now. And the forecast itself talks about individual income tax receipts and being one of the major issues in regards to the deficit. And by putting construction workers back to work, they actually pay income taxes. So here's a proposal for you to bring back to the governor, and I don't know if my bonding chairs will like this or not, but the governor wants, I think, about $125 billion of spending up and above what we've got in the bill. Since 125 million? 125 million.
Yeah,
up and above.
Billion,
125.
125 billion.
100, I wish it was a billion. 125 million above what we have in the bill. And we just heard that budget and management, that's the governor's office, has calculated that we have $1.8 billion in bonding capacity for this year. So I'm pretty sure that if we were to take our $999 million, add the governor's $125 million, put a few things in there, that we could have a deal today and get this thing out and pass it immediately and put people back to work. And I think that maybe doesn't sound like compromise, but to me that sounds like a really good solution because the forecast is telling us we need these jobs. Put these people back to work now, or they're all going to have to retrain, and they're all going to have to find jobs somewhere else if we don't put them back to work pretty soon.
You know, I remember, I've been at this for a long time, and I remember the good old days. We would come in here, the house would come in here, and we would end up here. Mm-hmm. And it was just a very amiable kind of situation.
It's kind of what I just proposed, I think.
Yeah.
Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair. Sometimes it's wise not to speak because people will think you less of a fool, and when you speak, they might think you're more of a fool. But I respect Mr. De La Forest and what you're saying here, but I think you're being somewhat restrained, and I think we're missing a very large point here. What Senator Tomassoni said is it would be good to get these jobs out the door and get people to work. That's something that we could debate, and we've debated it on the House floor as to how many jobs would actually happen this summer. But I think we need to set a whole lot aside and cut right to the chase. I mean, I've heard the governor say in his office, I've heard the governor say in private, I've heard the governor say over years past that he is not a legislator anymore. We are. And I can tell you right now, I know that Chris can't, but I can, because the governor can't fire me, only the people of my district can. But I know that the governor will not come to this table and tell you what should be in the bill beyond the six items that the governor has said already. Those are his key issues that he has to have in the bill. That's a fact that we all know. We have to decide as a legislative body what are the key things that we want in the bill. And we have to pick a number. Whatever that number happens to be is what we have to present to the governor. And the governor will either say, that's a good number, or it's too high. Now let's negotiate and determine where that real number is going to be. And I think we're losing our focus. I believe that we need to put a bill together. I'm not going to pick a number for the chairs. I think you already have in your head a number. But that's what we have to do. The governor is not going to take a bill we present to him and start telling you in a working group or in a conference committee what items he doesn't like and what items to take out. He's going to make us do that. We may not like to do that, but that's what he's going to do. I believe that the governor chose not to line item veto because he's tired of being perceived as the villain across the state. Whether you agree with that statement or not, it doesn't matter. But he doesn't want to be perceived as the one who chooses to cut something. All these projects are worthwhile to someone, maybe not everyone, but they are good projects. And it's hard to decide which one doesn't rise to the level of what we would like. It's a difficult decision, but that's why we were elected to do this, to make those tough calls. I hope I wasn't out of line, Mr.
No, 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 no. It's a democracy, or it used to be anyway.
Yeah.
This morning, in talking to Tom Hansen, I asked him about a number, and he said, well, it's still 725. Let's suppose we gave the governors 125. That means we got 600 million left of our 999. How many of you want to, if you got any ideas on how to cut 400 million, I'd like to have it before the end of the day, because I think we're not going to cut $400 million. He knows that. I think at some point, we're going to have to do what you say. We're going to have to put together a bill and send it to the governor. And if he won't come with any kind of guidelines or anything, we'll have to do it and then hope that he will, it'll be somewhere along the lines of his priorities.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to that point, since you gave me a challenge, I'm perfectly willing to put together a bill that I think the governor would accept. And sure, I'm going to get yelled at, screamed at, and you know, it doesn't matter what number we come out with in the end. Half the people aren't going to like it, and half the people are going to love it to death. So, yeah, I'm totally willing to put together a number. Neither one of you chairs are going to like it. You're not going to like what I pick, but I think I could put together a bill that the governor would say, yeah, it might be a little too high. You take this off, it'll pass. But maybe I just know the governor too well, and I shouldn't say that in public, but I just think I know what he'd accept.
Well, you know, my response to Tom Hansen, Commissioner Hansen, was when he mentioned 725, I said, that isn't going to pass. You got to know it. That isn't going to pass.
Mr. Chairman, the number's not going to be 725. We all know that.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, so far that's all I've heard. Representative Wagenia.
Well, Representative Howes knows the governor real well. I don't, so let me ask two questions. One is, you have five or six things that you say the governor wants that are not in the bill. Is that it? I mean, are we going to see additional things that we haven't seen before, or is that kind of it?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Wagenius, I have described them as core priorities. There are other priorities, but as Representative Howes mentioned, the working group needs to decide on a final bill, and so does the governor's office. And so I don't think it is productive, and especially when we do not have a negotiated number, I cannot sit here and say, this is in, this is out, or the governor will have nothing else. I mean, this is about more than five or six of the governor's priorities. Again, we've invited a discussion of your highest priorities or what you must not have in the bill, and some of the things have been identified, but not with any great specificity. And so Representative Howes is correct. The governor does expect a certain amount of work on behalf of the working group, and we are available to negotiate as well. And we know generally how the negotiations happen. We will get together and do this when the time is right. And again, Mr. Chairman, you alluded to something the governor did say. He said if you and Chair Hausman wanted to get together in a room, you could probably knock out a bill between the three of you real fast.
Representative Wagenius, you wanted to?
Well, he also said in a letter to us he wants transparency, so I think that we are being tugged now between those two. But I just want to go back to the expectation or try to make it solid that the things that the governor, the core things that he has added to this process, that's the end of the additional things that were not in any of these bills. Because we're talking about things that weren't in the bill. Am I getting that correct?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Wagenius, I wouldn't call it adding. We are not working off of the conference committee report. The governor's recommendations are there as well. So, again, we view this as a negotiation process. What was asked of the governor, and he has answered the question and a few occasions, is what are some of the things that you consider to be core priorities for the bill? And he has articulated them and has indicated that the rest is a negotiation process that he's willing to engage in with the working group or conference committee or whatever form it takes.
Mr. Chair, just let me attempt one more point of clarification as well. And that in any of the projects that that is recommended by any group, including the from the governor's perspective, there's always some what I would call efficiencies that can be found in a particular project. And let me give you an example of that. Several years ago when we were going to build a new prison, I think the request came in, I want to say $120, $126 million for a new prison. And we built the prison for $88 through doing some tough examination. Is the governor open, your office open to some tough examinations of projects?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Solberg, we would always welcome an objective examination of the cost of any project to determine that the cost is accurate.
And that's very helpful. We may be making some progress.
Representative Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Madam Chair. I think another stumbling block we have here is we as the legislature believe that by putting the governor's core items in there, we're adding $125 million on two. And I believe the governor's office, without saying so, again, I can't expect Chris DeLaForest to say everything. He believes they were omitted from. So I think that is a position that we need to work out with the governor. He doesn't feel that they've been added to. He feels that they were never put in. So that might be another small stumbling block that we have to cross.
Well, we omitted about $2.25 billion. So there was a lot of emissions, and there will be more emissions before this thing is through. So, okay, any further?
Representative Osborne. I just quickly made my list. I think we understand the governor would like us to lift the cap on Vermilion. He would like the facility, the Moose Lake Sex Offenders Program, funded. There's a Minneapolis Veterans Home, and then about three prison projects, Oak Park Heights and a radio, and an emergency operations center. What I think I captured in what he doesn't want in the bill, and maybe this is where we need clarity for tomorrow, he mentioned trail enhancements. Does that mean all trails? Does it mean rehabilitation? What doesn't he like about trails? I assume that he wants the Theater Worth Winter Recreation Area out of the bill, that he wants the Minneapolis Sculpture Garden out of the bill. Then he says various sports facilities and various civic centers. And so does he want all civic centers out? Does he want all sports facilities out? I think that's the specificity that we're still looking for, because we don't want to guess. We just don't want to guess. Because if we guess wrong, we still have a bill that gets vetoed.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, again, what may be in or in and out of a bill is very much dependent upon what the total size and scope of the bill is. And more than that, the governor has admitted publicly and said privately a number of times that he understands that a bonding bill is a negotiated process. It's a negotiated process.
But it sounds as though he would prefer that negotiation be in private.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hausman, the governor is flexible with respect to how the bill is negotiated. Again, in the times that we have met, I have met with this working group twice publicly with the whole working group. You invited me to a private meeting with the working group, and we set up a private meeting with just the chairs. So the form is flexible. But the governor simply does not historically, and governors haven't come to working group meetings.
But, you know, the governor was very critical of the way we put the bill together, the committee. People were coming and going all night. There were a number of legislators that weren't on the committee that came in and talked about things. That was totally free for anybody to come and go as they pleased. And we would not have kept anybody out of that. So I was a little upset with the governor making it sound like somehow it was a closed deal going on, because there were many legislators coming in there. We had some staff people come in there. We had some people that were interested in certain things about the bill that were free to come and go whenever they pleased. So I think the governor really made a kind of a political statement when he was indicating it was some kind of a closed group that that the public and the governor's office could not have entered. If you had come up there and knocked on the door and said you wanted to talk about something, you would have been sitting in a chair in 10 seconds. So,
Mr. Chairman, what room was that?
454. Everybody else knew because the halls were very crowded, I might add. So I think you could have very easily found out, yeah.
Yeah, corrections guy was there. What's his name?
Dennis Benson.
Dennis Benson was there.
Yeah, Mr.
Corrections. DNR. The DNR guy.
DHS.
Yeah, that was
DHS.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Was there.
Okay, any more comments?
We do have another meeting announced.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
But Sandy still has.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. De La Forest, I guess I just want to reiterate that if the governor says he doesn't want in a category of things in the bill, are we to assume that he means all of that category, or are there specific projects? And I think that the more specific that you can be with the group, the better to help us in making the decision about what we're going to cut. Because like Senator Representative Hausman said, we want to have a negotiated deal so that in the end we get a bill signed without vetoes. So if there are some certain things that the governor objects to, and then if the governor is willing, then he should let us know specifically. And maybe we don't want to make an assumption and assume wrong. And then also, if the governor is willing to compromise between our number and his number, what is that point at which he will compromise? That's what we're interested in finding out.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, certainly you're correct, and also we're willing to receive that information the other way. If you believe there's a number that you can live with below $1 billion, we'd be more than welcome to receive information the other way as well.
Representative Hausman.
We just wanted to announce to committee members, we're going to stay at this, we're going to stay at the table, and we're going to have public conversation. And so we do have a room set up for tomorrow, Wednesday, March 3rd, 3:30 in room 5. Of the state office building.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
So.